This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, December 11th. Well, we had the crop report out yesterday, and it was a bit of a bullish push for wheat. And we also have the underlying fundamentals for wheat definitely taking on a more bullish tone this week. So we saw the wheat market across all three, but led by Chicago and Kansas City, extending the gains from earlier in the week. Two strong days in a row, and so far today it looks like we're going to extend that once again. So a nice way to end the week if we can end it on a strong note today, but we've got 3 days in a row now where the market is working its way significantly higher every day, and that's up 10, 12 cents from both the Chicago and Kansas City. Minneapolis is moving higher as well, but not quite to the degree and is with as much energy as the other two markets. The crop report yesterday, basically for U.S. wheat, they lowered imports 5 million bushels, they raised exports 10 million, and they took ending stocks down 15 million. So that takes U.S. wheat ending stocks down 862 million, and that is still down 182 from last year. So definitely on a downward trajectory as far as supplies go. It's still comfortable. 860 is still definitely a very comfortable number. It's not burdensome, and it's not extremely tight, but it's definitely pulling down. For corn, they left everything unchanged. So ending stocks are still at 1.2 billion bushels. In soybeans, they took the crush up 15 million. Left exports unchanged and took ending stocks down 15 million. So soybeans are sitting at 175 million bushels. That's down 400 million from a year ago. So soybeans have taken on such a shift in fundamentals from a year ago where we were kind of drowning in soybeans, as was the world. And all of a sudden, a late season drought here in the United States shaved off significant yield off the soybean crop. So it took production down, yields were down, and also exports have ramped up significantly over the last 6 months or so. So we're seeing a huge change in the fundamental outlook for soybeans. And this comes at a time when Brazil now, who had been enjoying record high prices to farmers down there and record demand because of our export embargo to China, they were planting fence row to fence row, and they did. They have record plantings, but they're off to the driest start in their growing season in 40 years. So while USDA left those projections unchanged as far as production for soybeans and corn out of Brazil, they're definitely not off to a stellar start there. So soybeans have rallied significantly. We're, you know, on point for weather problems in Brazil. There have some rain this week and as we speak, but after that it looks like it turns hot and dry again across the major growing regions of Brazil. So soybean market is not out of the woods just yet. So let's take a look at the world numbers for wheat. Argentina, they left unchanged at 18 million tons, unchanged from last month, but that's still down 2 from a year ago. Australia, they did increase production as expected, 1.5 million tons. So that puts Australia at 30 million even. That's still up 15. That's double of what they produced a year ago. In Canada, at 0.2 million tons. That's unchanged from last month, but up 2.5 over a year ago. So this puts Canada at record production as well. European Union at 135.8 million tons. That's down 1 from last month, and it's down 19 from a year ago. Brazil at 6.7 million tons, that's unchanged from last month, up 1.5 over a year ago. China, 136 million tons, unchanged from last month and up 3 from a year ago. India, 107 million tons, that's unchanged from last month, up 4 from a year ago. Russia, up 0.5 million tons at 84 million tons, that's up 11 from last year. Kazakhstan unchanged at 12.5 million tons, that's up 0.5 over last year. And Ukraine unchanged at 25.5 million tons, that is down 3.5 from last year. So still looking at some pretty notable adjustments in the wheat complex, even this late in the year. But all in all, wheat ending stocks at 316 million tons, that's still a record, but it's down 4 from last month, and it's up 16 from a year ago. Corn ending stocks at 289 million tons, that is down 3 from last month, and it's down 15 from a year ago. In soybean ending stocks at 85 million tons, it's down 1 from last month, and it's down 10 from a year ago. That's, again, not including Brazil, where they left unchanged production estimates. So Argentina, they took corn production down 1 from last month at 49 million tons, and soybeans, they were also down 1 at 50 million tons. And again, Brazil was unchanged on both corn and soybeans, corn at 110 million tons, and soybeans at 133 million tons. So we're looking at, so far, they have not made any adjustments to Brazil, but most of the private estimates have already ratcheted down yields and production out of Brazil and continue to do so in Argentina. So I think that as we move forward, we're going to refocus on weather in Brazil and Argentina. Argentina has trended dry over the last couple weeks with the La Nina strengthening, and they expect that it won't peak until late January, early February. It looks like those weather patterns are pretty well entrenched. So Argentina has turned pretty dry. And Brazil, of course, had these key rains here this week, but look like they will start to turn back to the dry pattern next week and beyond. So it just depends on how much rain they get and how dry it gets over this next month and a half or so. So it's definitely markets that are on point for weather issues in South America. Now, getting back to wheat, the big driver in wheat is what's going on in Russia. And of course, Russia has become the world's largest exporter. They set world price. A couple months ago, the ag minister announced that they would not impose export restrictions until the middle of February, then go through the end of the marketing year at the end of June. There was quite a bit of pushback from their end users, the millers, feed manufacturers, livestock producers, looking at record high feed and food prices in the interior of Russia. Well, this week, Putin got on board with that, started complaining about the high prices of food. Now the ag minister is becoming much more proactive there. They've already suggested that they would impose a 30% tax on sunflower oil exports. And wheat is in the conversation as well. So if Russia restricts wheat exports, that changes the dynamics significantly because they were looking at a near record crop of wheat anyway, huge exports, which got increased anyway. But it's still, if they change that dynamic and start to back off there, then it just props up world prices everywhere. And it makes the U.S. much more competitive as we've been higher priced throughout this part of the marketing year already. So this is, and of course, USDA increased our export projections already as well. So we've had a very good season so far as wheat exports, and now it looks like it may continue to be that way. Even with the huge Australian crop that is moving its way into the pipeline and into key markets, particularly in Southeast Asia, it's still looking like world wheat prices are going to be well supported as we work our way through the winter and into the spring. Now we look at the conditions of the winter wheat that's been planted in two key areas, here in the United States, Southern Plains, and in the Russian southern region, which is where usually their exportable supplies come from. Last year they had a poor crop there, which is why exporters have had to move further interior to originate wheat and pushing up interior Russian prices. Both of those regions planted into dry conditions, and wheat crop conditions are sitting at multi-year lows. So we're going to need ideal weather coming out of dormancy, or else things really take off to the upside, because you just can't have the U.S. and Russia looking at a drop in production and not have the markets respond. And in fact, they're already responding. So I think breaks will be well supported. I don't see us taking another leg up, you know, getting beyond the highs that were established here a few weeks ago. I think we'll settle into a fairly wide trading range, unless corn and soybeans take off, and then Chicago will lead the way higher. And that would happen over the next 5 to 6 weeks would be when that would happen, if it's going to happen, because you're already well into the growing season in South America. So, you know, the next 4 to 6 weeks are going to be the critical part. You'll get into the pollination, and once you get past that, you pretty much know where you're at as far as production. And if La Nina is still going to have its major impact on the longer term weather patterns. So this is why these next month or so, you want to be really careful about not only shorting wheat, but putting on the KC Chicago spread, because even though both of the regions grow hard red winter wheat, the hedge funds are going to go to Chicago, and that could well lead the market higher. So we'll just have to bide our time there and see how that performs as we get into the spring. And of course, I think, you know, the odds are in our favor that you're going to have another leg up in wheat, whether it happens right in front of us on the heels of corn and soybeans or in the spring with weather problems. I think the market has a job to do. It's not only, you know, reacting to potential loss of production of what's planted, but just to keep what's planted in the ground. That if corn and beans take off, farmers are going to abandon marginal quality wheat stands. They're going to go to corn or sunflowers in Russia. They're going to go to corn or soybeans here in the United States. They could easily make that transition. So the wheat market not only would be responding to, you know, production issues, but loss of acres that farmers would just swap out. So that's why I think the wheat market will be well supported. It's got to protect those acres. It's got to keep up with corn and beans. And those two markets have a significant underlying support to them as well. Massive demand base for corn and soybeans. And now, you know, questionable production potential in the key areas of Argentina and Brazil. So we'll get our breaks, but I think they'll be, again, they'll be bought, and I think wheat will be tagging along with that. So if you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.